blessing it is to be with you this Lord's Day morning, to be able to sing and worship our God together. If you have your Bible, if you'll be turning to the book of Jeremiah and the 10th chapter, we'll begin our study there in just a moment. So good to see each of you. What an encouragement it is to see the brothers and sisters in Christ and be able to worship in spirit and truth. And if you're visiting with us, we consider you an honored guest and want you to feel comfortable as you make your visit. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready, where you can confess that Jesus is the Christ and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. You'll make your way to the front and let your spiritual need be known. We'd be glad to help you in any way. Appreciated that song by Brother Travis. It won't be very long. I have a friend, one time, they led that before he preached. And he preached, and he preached, and he preached. And when he left, I said, they lied to me. But he's a good man, and I appreciate the sermon. And we know what the song is talking about, that our life here will not be very long. In Jeremiah chapter 10, look at verses 19 and 20. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is severe. But I say truly, this is a grief. Then look at verse 20, verse 19 again. And I must bear it. My tent is plundered, and all my cords are broken. My children have gone from me, and they are no more. There is no one to pitch my tent anymore or set up my curtains. Then if you take your Bible, turn back with me to the 27th Psalm for just a moment, and we'll bring this out in just a few moments. But look at Psalm 27, and in particular, verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me, he shall set me high upon a rock. When you go back and you examine the writing of Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah chapter 10, you'll find that Jeremiah is having some problems. This man was a godly man who feared the Lord in a day and time when few people really listened to the Almighty. Therefore, this man was hurt often by the actions and the attitude of the people. And he was identified as the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah preached to the people and instructed them by God, and he told them time and time again to repent of their sins. You'll find that he's talking to the people of Judah, and he is telling them they need to come back to God, they need to give up the false idols and serve the living and true God. However, at this particular time, the prophet of God has a great grievance in life. He is in what one might call distress, and he uses the word tent, or a tent collapsing, to describe his troubles. And what I want to talk about for just a few moments of our time is what we might call the collapses of life. The first thing I want to bring to your mind is the prophet's lament. As you read the words of the prophet, you'll notice this was not some mild irritation in the life of this man. This was not some inconvenience or annoyance, a disagreeable, disappointing incident. But when he talks in verses 19 and 20 of the 10th chapter, he is talking about a major hurt. He's talking about bitter grief. It was what one might call a crushing blow to him. And here the prophet Jeremiah is describing the hurt and sorrow that he's going through. And the second thing I want us to notice is he talks about the fact that he is completely been overthrown. The overthrow is total. He said, my tent is spoiled and all my cords are broken. Many times in the land of Israel, they had been devastated and its population subject to loss and great suffering. But on this occasion, the loss was going to be catastrophic and overwhelming. And notice, it's to Jeremiah. But notice a third thing this man talked about. The overthrow was sudden. A tent in the wilderness is broken without warning, and therein is the symbol of our overthrow. Jeremiah was taken by a sudden surprise with little warning, and there was nothing he could do to stop the collapse in his life but endure it. So thus far, we've looked at this man, Jeremiah, and we've noticed he's talking about a great calamity in his life. And in using that calamity, he says, it's like a tent. The overthrow was total. The overthrow was sudden. I was not prepared for this great collapse in my life. Just like a tent collapsing, it can happen all of a sudden and it can come down quickly. But then I want you to think about something else. The overthrow was irreparable. There was no one else to stretch forth my tent anymore, he said, or to set up my curtains. Jeremiah confesses his helplessness. He understands that there are some things beyond his control, and he realizes he must endure it, that there would be some damage done that could not be repaired. So when I look at this man, he looked at this and he said, my life is like a tent in the wilderness. It's been overthrown totally. It's been overthrown suddenly. And there's parts of the tent that I cannot repair. He's saying there's parts of my life that I cannot fix. But then notice the overthrow was personal. Look again in verse 19. The New King James said, truly this is an infirmity. But I like the King James Version where he said, truly this is a grief. This is a grief. And he said, I must bear it. And so we live in a world of misfortune and sorrow. And like Jeremiah, we must never stop to think that something cannot happen to us. Because Jeremiah said, look what happened in a moment, in a sudden, my life collapsed. And here is a man who speaks of his wound, and he said, part of it cannot be cured. He said, there's a part that cannot be repaired. And so when you think about the thing that hit him, you think about the fact that his life collapsed, you need to recognize that he said, my wound is severe. But then, if you take your Bible, contrast that with what the psalmist said in Psalm 27. When you go back to the psalmist, notice what the psalmist said in verse 5. In verse 5, when he's thinking about his life, notice he said, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. He is saying, when your tent sinks away or is overthrown, when life collapses, what should be done? And the psalmist has the answer. He said, there's a pavilion or a tabernacle in which the Lord will hide us. He's a place where the tent cannot be shaken. And notice where this tabernacle is located. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. I want you to notice that it is on the rock, a place that is solid, a place that where he could put forth and the tent and not fear it being collapsed. And he said, the Lord is the place that will keep him hid. The Lord is his pavilion. And in the time of trouble, in the time of collapse, he said, I know one thing. I can set my feet on solid ground when I am walking with the Lord. And notice he is talking about he can spend time in fellowship with the Lord. Jeremiah, throughout the 10th chapter, dwells with the reality and the glory of the living God. Had Jeremiah not thought about the Almighty God, his collapse might have seemed unbearable. But what kept that man going is in the face of great adversity and pain, is knowing that there is God, and in knowing God, there is a tent man cannot destroy. I wonder if he thought back to the psalmist's word when the psalmist said, he shall hide me, he shall set me high upon a rock. I want to take that. I want to make application to our life and the lesson journey. The first thing I want us to think about is the fact we can face collapses in life. There can come things in our life that just seem overwhelming. Things that nobody else may know that we're suffering. Things that just seem like are encompassing our life and they just seem to stress us out to the point that we don't feel we can keep going. And many times we can get so down, we can get so discouraged, we can get so depressed because our life seems to be falling in around us, just like Jeremiah's tent. It seems like the overthrow can come all of a sudden. And I want you to think, my friend, it can be a total collapse. It could be like the loss of a loved one, financial ruin, a family crisis. And I'll tell you, those are things that people endure, and those are things that can come into life that can just bring you down, that can seem overwhelming, that can just break your heart. And then you think that they can happen so quickly. One day everything is fine, and the next day heartache abounds. And we do not know from one moment to the next how quickly our lives can be changed and how our life can collapse into a world of pain. Have you ever been like Jeremiah? Have you ever had things happen in your life that happened all of a sudden and it just seemed like that it was a total collapse in your life and you wondered, how can I rebuild from this? Because the collapse caused great damage. You know, there can be some hurt that will never be fixed this side of eternity. And there are some losses that are complete and cannot be recovered. And the only thing we can do is endure the collapse. You know, I think that's important for us to understand. Sometimes we make people feel guilty who are still grieving over something that has occurred in their life. And we don't know what they're going through. But it's easy for us to say, put our arm around it and just say, well, get over it. When we don't know what they're facing. Open your Bible and notice what the Apostle Paul had to say about that in 2 Corinthians 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul is writing, he talks about the thorn in the flesh. And in verse 8, he said he pleaded with the Lord three times that it would depart from him. And the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Have you ever thought that God did not remove the thorn, but he did give enough grace for Paul to endure the problem that he was facing, whatever that thorn is? And sometimes I'm made to wonder if the thorn's not mentioned because you and I are going to have our thorn. And that's not just something that pricks the skin. Remember, we talked about with Jesus when they crucified him, the thorns can be 5, 6, 7 inches long. That's something that impales you. And there can be problems in life that just seem to impale us. But I'll tell you what God will do. Look again at what he said. My grace is sufficient for you. God does not remove us from every storm, but God helps us through that storm. God doesn't take away all family problems, but God gives us his word on how to fix what we can and do what we can to make the family be what it should be. God doesn't take away death from our loved ones. But God has given us faithfulness and promises us that we do not sorrow as others who have no hope if our family members in Christ. But I'll tell you what he has given us time and time again. I like that word, my grace is sufficient. God said, what I've given you, Paul, is what you need. You don't need any more than what I've already given you. And Paul, what you need to do is keep your eye on the goal. And so Paul said, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast of my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, maybe someone can see my infirmity, see my problem, and through my overcoming it by God's grace, it might cause somebody to come to Christ. Because he says, I take pleasure indeed in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Why? Because my faith has to go to God. I have to lean on God. Jeremiah was getting to a point where he said, I have no one else to help me. He said, nobody else can set up my tent. In Jeremiah 10. He said, nobody else can hang the curtains. So Jeremiah, what are you going to do? Like the psalmist, he's going to have to turn to God and let God be his strength and build his life upon the rock. Because I'll tell you, the collapse can be personal. One day, like the prophet, you will say, it is my grief. And it makes all the difference in the world when it's yours. You know, sometimes when we preach and when we teach and we talk about someone hurting, it's easy to talk about what we should do in the time of hurting. But when you're going through it, and you're the one that's facing the problem, like Jeremiah, sometimes you can feel overwhelmed, and I'll tell you, it makes all the difference when it's your trial. You ever noticed how we can logically think out how to help somebody else, but when it's our trial, sometimes it seems like it's just overbearing. But our refuge is Christ. And you may say, preacher, you're making it too simple. I want to tell you, my friend, that's the only answer there is. His love is deeper than our grief. And His promises can sustain every heartache. We must come to trust the living God and His promises and purposes by building upon the rock of His Word, as Jesus said in Matthew 7. A total collapse is to build on something other than Christ, because that's an eternal collapse. And I'm going to tell you, as long as we're in this world, there are going to be problems, there are going to be collapses, there's going to be heartache, there's going to be grief upon grief. I don't know about you, but there's something about this time of year that I get just a little bit down. I told Sam, I said, I'm just down and discouraged yesterday when he was talking to me. He said, why? You should be happy and jolly. It's a jolly time of year. When you're 11 and a half, it is a jolly time of year. When you're 43 and you're thinking about loved ones who are gone and another Christmas without, it's a whole other issue. Next week, I'm going to go to Nashville and preach for Campbell Road one last time because they're closed. Breaks my heart. I know people here who are struggling with problems so great. They just struggle every day to get up and to do the things they need to do. And I'll tell you one thing we have to learn as Christians is to learn to encourage one another in Christ. Because I want to tell you something. In our day, we have enough discouragement from without. We don't need it from within. May I say something in all kindness and candor? If the words that are coming out of your mouth don't encourage your brother, your sister, for good, maybe we shouldn't say it. Now, you may say, what if they're wrong? Well, you encourage them to do right. We can rebuke them to do right and encourage them to do good. But I'll tell you something. If we are going behind one another and talking bad about one another and we're not encouraging one another, I'll tell you, we don't know what somebody's going through. I don't know your pain. But I do know one. If it wasn't for Christ, where would you turn when your life collapsed? Just where would you go? Aren't you thankful that you're a child of God? Because you can go to the Lord. If you're not a child of God, our prayer is that you'd want to become a child of God. And then when life collapses, you have one that will sustain you, help you endure. Because your eye isn't just on the collapse, your eye is upon the Savior. Your eye is on the goal of where you want to go. Your eye is on the reward. Hebrew writers said, you keep your eye on Jesus. They were trying to train a little puppy. And they drew a circle. And every time the puppy would get outside the circle, they would smack it a few times and put it back in the circle. And then they would put down a treat, and the dog would leave the circle to get the treat. And they would smack the dog and put it back in the circle. Finally, what the dog did was quit looking at the treat outside the circle and started looking at the master. Sometimes
times what we need to do is take our eyes off all that's fallen us and look at the Master. Because the Master will lead us home. If you need to obey the gospel,